بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In contemporary times, people have taken up some type of hobby or pastime. You'll see on various occasions that they have got some type of a hobby or some type of a pastime, and everyone is collectively discussing. Someone is into sports, so all the details pertaining to sports they will give it. Someone has got a passion for politics and he'll speak about politics. Then there are some that are just worried about turning the digits all the time. So wherever they are, they talk about investments, properties, and the returns that they would get or they are getting on their investments. So day in and day out, this is what they will think about and this is what they will talk about. So people have different types of hobbies, different type of passions, different type of pastimes. As though most of their time just goes on discussing these things or thinking on these lines. Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi was the king of Afghanistan, Balkh, presently Afghanistan. And he had abandoned the entire kingdom. Nonetheless, one minister came up to him and complained to him that such a big kingdom and you have abandoned it and there is nobody to take care of all these affairs. How must these affairs run? You got so many things to settle, so many things to administer and rule over. You just walked out, so how are we going to run this place? Sometimes there is a problem in the courts, so we need someone to bring about some type of a settlement in the courts. Sometimes in municipal matters we need some type of a direction. Sometimes in other affairs, like there are orphans, there are widows, there are other areas to attend. And you have left all this and you have gone. Now how are we going to run this affairs? So Ibrahim Adham rahmatullahi says, that presently I am gripped with some type of a concern and some type of a worry. That concern and that worry has consumed me. So he asked, but what is that concern? If it's a concern, then we can at least help you out, we can assist you and relieve you of that worry, that concern that has overtaken you. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah says, no, I don't think I can share it with you. So no, what can there be that cannot be sorted out? Everything in this life, there is some solution, there is some way out. When there is some way out, then definitely there can be a way out to this worry and this concern that has overtaken you as well. He says, no, this is totally different. So no, you must show me so that at least I can be of some assistance, some help to you. So Ibrahim bin Azam rahmatullah says, all right. The Quran Sharif says, فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah Pak will announce that one group is heading towards Jahannam and one group is heading towards Jannat. He will make the groups وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. People will be classed according to their actions, according to their deeds. If it was a person that was regular in his namaz, now he is grouped separately. All namazis, they are 5-time namazis, they are grouped separately. Then there is a group who's particular about their tahajjud, that their tahajjud doesn't miss them. So they are grouped separately, and Allah Pak will tell them that you enter into Jannat without any reckoning. تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَلِ الْمَضَاجِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ. That their sides keep away from their beds. Their beds, their bodies are away from their beds. In other words, they stand up in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, in serving Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in the late part of the night. So these people who broke the sleep and who lost their comfort just because of me. So all your life you had given away your comfort because of me. Today I will make you comfortable, I will make you relax. Whilst people are in the midst of their reckoning, in drowning in their sweat, then I will usher you into Jannat without any reckoning. Go. So there's another group that were particular about their tahajjud. Then there will be a third group who were the patient, and Allah Pak will ask them to be grouped separately. He will speak to them that you are the group of the patient. You, in all situations, whatever trials that confronted you, then you were patient, you were firm, you didn't become impatient. Whatever had befallen you, but you wasn't impatient. Sometimes you lost a child. Sometimes you had some type of a downhill in your business. Sometimes it was that people had jeered you, they had teased you, and mocked you, and made ridicule of you. Sometimes you had a tragedy in your health, some health or your property or your wealth, some tragedy had struck you. But in all that, you had just held on only on account of myself. You didn't say anything that would be displeasing to me. You didn't complain to me that this was happening to me. You didn't complain to people about your tragedy. You didn't go about crying about the tragedy that had befallen you. You didn't go about becoming impatient and losing your tolerance. No, you held on. Sometimes it was people told you things that would be very hurtful, but you said, no, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I will just keep quiet, I will forgive the person, I won't say anything. So you tolerated, you were patient, you patiently persevered only because of me. And definitely it's a hard thing, it's a difficult thing. Imagine in the presence of people that you know, and they know you very well, you know them very well, and someone ridicules you, he pokes fun at you, and then you silently and calmly just walk away, you don't give any answer, only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala you are patient, and you move away gently, respectfully, you know, with nobility. What a great thing it is. You're struck with calamity, then too you don't go about complaining, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala you just keep quiet. One person had lost his eye, so he didn't complain to anybody. After about 30 years, there was some incident where he couldn't see something. People realized that he had no eye, no right eye. But he says, no, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I did not disclose this, that I had lost this eye. And they asked him, how did you lose this eye? He said, well, that I was in a certain situation, and a person, he just raised his hand. When he raised his hand, he hit my eye and I lost my sight. So he doesn't know, that person doesn't know, and for 30 years he held on like this without letting anybody know that this was the tragedy, this was the accident, and on account of that accident he's lost his sight for over 30 years. So for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, they just kept this held on. Sometimes it is a domestic affair. Man in his home, and There's a domestic affair, his wife is giving him uphill, but he keeps quiet. He doesn't utter a word. For the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I will keep quiet. I will hold on with this woman. I will not complain, go about complaining to anybody. Sometimes it happens the other way around, that the wife holds on only because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One great awliya amongst the women was a great wali, and Allah Pak had blessed her with a very high level of Jannat. So they asked her, what did you do? What did you? She said, no, my husband, he was important, totally important he was. But I got married to him, my parents, my folks had got me married to him. So I weighed my options, what should I do? If I'm going to live with this person, I'm not going to bear any children. My personal needs are not going to be fulfilled, I won't get any satisfaction. I won't get any type of pleasure with this man here. But if I'm going to announce this person is going to be important, then I'm going to be revealing and announcing his weakness. Then he will feel embarrassed. His parents will feel embarrassed that our son is important. He can't bear children, and he can't satisfy any woman. So it will be a stigma against their name. It will be an embarrassment for my husband. And then I thought about it, that if I just hold on and I be patient, then Allah Ta'ala will bless me for this. But then how do I go about doing it? See, when a person wants to do a thing, then the avenues for that open up for him. He wants to do a thing, so the avenues for that will open up for him. So she thought to herself, what I will do. And normally it's the habit, it's a routine, olden days, that weekly they would do these things, right? They will have a faraz ghusl, and they'll have a compulsory bath every Friday. So what she would do is, every Friday, come a Friday, and she will go and bath, and she will doll herself a little bit, everything whatever, how a woman normally would do. And she will put on good clothes, and people will feel everything is normal, everything is carrying on calmly, normally in the home. She never disclosed or exposed the weakness and the deficiency of her husband throughout her life. 50 years she lived with a man, but she never disclosed it. Every week, without fail, this is what she would do. So on account of her patience, Allah Pak has posted her to this level of Jannat. She didn't disclose the weakness of the husband, and she did as though everything was normal. She didn't even complain to him, didn't make a noise about it. She did everything like as though everything was absolutely normal, and she carried on and continued the past her days in this way. So patience come in different ways. Sometimes it happens that it is a debtor, and the debtor is not paying up, not prompting his payment. So you are holding on only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Okay, I'm not telling him anything, I'm not shouting at him, I'm not making demands against him. So in different ways you have to bear, you have to put up. One Arab, his son was killed by his nephew. Nephew killed his son. So people came up to offer condolences. People wanted to know now what is the line of action. Islamic law is وَالْجُرُوحَ قِصَاصٌ أَنَّ النَّفْسَ بِالنَّفْسِ, that life for life is an Islamic law. So you have the right to take away the life of your nephew like he had taken the life of your son. So he says to them, you see, I have the right to do it, but what's the point? As though I'm chopping off my left hand with my right hand, or I'm chopping off my right hand with my left hand. In other words, if my son was my right hand, then my nephew is my left hand. So now if the left hand has overplayed its part, should I destroy my left hand as well? The right hand has been destroyed. Now because of the left hand destroying the right hand, must I destroy the left hand as well? I can't do that. How can I do that? But nonetheless, I understand that I do have a wife, and she will be up in tears, and I need something just to console her, just to make her feel comfortable. So I will ask for some type of blood money as a compensation for this tragedy and this loss, so that she will be at ease mentally. She will feel that this person has done this, but she got something that she can be compensated for. So this patience, that is a third group, third class, that they are patient for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala would command this patient to be in one corner, one side. You be on one side. Then He will command that يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. You also get into Jannat and no reckoning, no customs for you. Just get in. Whilst people are drowning in their sweat, whilst they are miserable on the day of Qiyamah, whilst they are in difficulty and panicking, and Allah will announce, you've been patient for me. All that difficulty, all that humiliation, all that disgrace, all the tragedies that came over you, but you didn't complain only for my sake, that I will compensate you, I will reward you for your patience. So today, you will see how I will favor you. Go into Jannat and you've got no reckoning. And not only no reckoning, بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, you will get rewards. Everybody, every other person's reward will be measured and given to him. His reward will be in proportion to his deed. But yours is immeasurable quantity. Your reward is an immeasurable, innumerable. See? So go on, just carry on. So this is the patient. So like you will get on the day of Qiyamah, you will get the righteous group differently. Then you will get the wrong also grouped differently. People that were not particular about their namaz, now they are grouped separately. You're not particular about namaz, you're not worried about your namaz, so you are grouped separately. You're going to be punished in this way. Then there is another group that is busy and that is very fond of ghibat and backbiting. And you are grouped differently. And then Allah Ta'ala will command the malaika that their jaws must be sawed from one end to the other, right through the throat. The jaws must be all sliced and all. See? So then you get this group here. They are not worried about, not careful about the use of their tongue. And they are being grouped separately, not grouped. They group separately because they are not careful of their tongues. Speaking one lie, and that lie goes right to the four corners of the world. So you are grouped separately. Then you are backbiting. Then there is that person that is making false accusations. So you grouped also separately, one group. All people that are gossiping, making false accusations, making false allegations, so you are on one side. Then when they are made to cross over the Sirat, they are stopped there. They can't move on the Sirat. Sirat, they can't cross over the bridge. Why? You're making false allegations. So this allegation that you made, bring the support, bring the evidence. And obviously when it's a false allegations, then how can they bring about any support? How can they bring any type of proof? So they will remain burning there, roasting up there. Until their guna has been forgiven, they will remain there. Or unless the people that they had been gossiping had forgiven them. So this is one group who was not careful about the use of their tongue. Then you get those that were involved in zina. And there will be a very terrible stench that will be coming out of their bodies, rotten and absolutely smelling stiff, you know, smelling meat, and they are made to consume that. Their stench is so terrible that the whole Jahannam will be stinking because of them. Now, these people that have been committing zina, fornication, whether of the eyes or of the tongue, of the ears, or actively involved in zina, so they will be grouped like this. Then you'll get that group who will advise and admonish others, but they're not cared about themselves, not worried about themselves. And then the entrails will be pulled out. They are all also grouped separately. The entrails are out, and they will be running around the entrails like how a donkey runs around a mill. They'll be made to run around like that. People, Jahannamis, will gather around them and say, and tell them, you know, we have gone to Jannat because of your advising and admonishing. What happened to you? I used to advise and admonish you, but I forgot myself. So this group is grouped separately again. Then there will be that group of people, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ, that had killed their children in infancy, like was the pagan Arab custom, or like the second era of paganism, that was the first era of paganism, and today is the second era of paganism, where children are being aborted. Innocent, sinless, helpless children are being aborted, and then they have got the approval of the government that they can abort their children however they want, provided it is before the delivery. After delivery, obviously, now they call it a murder, but before that, even though the child was alive, there was movement, the child was there was movement in him and he was alive, but you terminated his life. You terminated his life. So this is also another type of murder. The only difference is that that murder was when the child was out of the womb, and here this murder was while the child was within the womb. But both is one and the same thing, that you have murdered a life. قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ Without any valid reason, you have taken away an innocent soul. No, is there any valid reason? No valid reason. But you have terminated life. So Allah Ta'ala will call that fetus that was aborted. That fetus that was aborted, Allah Ta'ala will call it. He'll give it life. And he'll speak to it. وَإِذَا الْمُوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ So when he gives it life, that fetus will complain to Allah Ta'ala, O Allah Ta'ala, ask my parents, why did they terminate my life? Why wasn't I given a chance to live? Everybody had a chance to live, and why was I deprived from this chance? Why wasn't I given this opportunity? What was my crime? What was my wrong? Please do ask my parents, why did they kill me? Now imagine what a horrible scene. You are there, Allah Pak is there, the child is complaining about you. Okay, this is what you have done to this helpless soul. Small, it couldn't speak for itself, it couldn't defend its rights, and then you took advantage and you had terminated its life. So that thing is speaking in the court of Allah Ta'ala against its parents, that parent of mine, he terminated my life. So go and ask him, why did he terminate my life? What wrong have I done? What was there a problem in his way? When you were providing the rizq and you were providing rozi, نَحْنُ رَزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ Allah Pak says, if it was for reasons of bringing them up and nourishing them, then we provide them. So this child is saying that, Allah Pak, you provide. When you are providing, then why? What business these people had to go and terminate my life? I could have also enjoyed life like the rest of the mankind is enjoying life. I could have enjoyed life, but why did they terminate my life? وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ For what reason was my life terminated? So this merciless killing and this helpless child, that child is going to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's going to ask and demand an explanation from his parents. Ask them, why did they terminate my life? Imagine what a horrible scene. All mankind is gathered there and you are on one end and this child is crying to Allah ta'ala before you. That this is my father, this is my mother, and they terminated my life for some paltry reasons, for some invalid reasons they have killed me. They had no business to kill me, no matter what, even if it was some type of a syndrome, whatever it was. But they had no business to kill me. Like if the child was out of the fetus and he had some syndrome, then you wouldn't kill the child. So by the same token, if he's within, then you got no business to kill the child. Why did you kill the child? Just because you won't stand out in society, people look down upon you, get you, oh, your child has got some syndromes, because he's backwards, he's retarded. So just to save yourself that type of embarrassment, that imaginary embarrassment, you will terminate the life of this innocent soul. So Allah Pak will group these people separately. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ Besides the punishment, imagine the disgrace, the embarrassment in front of all the people that will be collected. Yeah, this person here, and this is what he did. So people will be ranked, they will be grouped according to their deeds. Then you will get that person that was involved in usury, and then he is in a lake of blood, and there is someone that is smashing his head down. As he comes to the shore, and there is someone that is smashing his head down, he goes back into the river, he can't get out of the river of blood. So that is the person that was involved in usury and interest. So all people will be grouped according to their sins, according to their virtues and righteous works. According to the virtues or according to the sins you are. So, what we're getting at is this day of Qiyamah, right? This day of Qiyamah, and how it will pan out, how it will appear, how will we fare on that day? How it will pan out, how will we fare on that day? One easy and simple way to bring about the remembrance of Qiyamah, remembrance of the Akhirat, one easy way, simple way that we can bring about this remembrance in our minds is at the time of wuzu, right? At the time of wuzu, we are reciting the respective du'as. For example, we are gargling our mouth. Then we are saying the du'a, Allahumma sqini min hawdi nabiq sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah Ta'ala, give me the honor of being blessed with the hawza kawthar at the hands of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will be blessed with drinking from the hawza kawthar from the hands of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, you're thinking about it on the day of Qiyamah, and people will be thirsty, they'll parched thirst, and there's no way to satisfy their thirst, and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be at his hose, at his pond, and the multitudes of people will be provided with water from that hose. Such will be the quality of that water that you drink one sip from that water and you don't feel thirsty ever after. La yasma'u ba'daha abada. After that you don't ever feel thirsty. So, O Allah Ta'ala, let me be from that group. Let me not be from that group when I will come to the Hawza Kawthar and ask Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to also honor me with a sip of that Hawza Kawthar. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wants to provide the water to me, but the malaika will intercept and say, innaka la tadri ma ahdasu ba'dak. Ya Rasulullah, you don't know what they did after you, what wrongs and evils and bidat and whatever nonsensical things they have done after you. You don't know about it. In your lifetime, as you knew them, they were all right. But afterwards, they went and did messed up things. They went and did all wrong things upside down. So, innaka la tadri ma ahdasu ba'dak. You don't know what they did after you. I am pleading to them, ummati. This is my ummat. This is my follower. So spare them. Let them also be honored in this way. And the malaika will tell me, okay, you don't know what they did. So then I will also say, suhkan, suhkan, liman baddala ba'di, or liman ghayyara ba'di. Those people that have changed, they went off the cause. They were in one cause, they're moving steadily, and then they turned their whole cause into a wrong direction. Then away from them. I don't want to see them as well. Nabi himself will be saying, suhkan, I don't want to see these people. Go. So let me not be from that group who will be turned away by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Apart from the malaika, even Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will turn them away. Let me, so now you're thinking about the day of Qiyamah, the presence, and then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is hosed and is feeding people, and let me not be from those people who are turned away. Let me be from that group who is being actually honored with the drink and a sip from the Hawza Kawthar. So that is the one group, and that is when you are gargling your mouth. Then as you're taking the water to clean your nose, then you say, Allahumma arihni ra'ihat al-jannah. O Allah Ta'ala, bless me with the fragrance of Jannat. O Allah Ta'ala, bless me with the fragrance of Jannat. And many are the servants of Allah Ta'ala that because of this dua, because of some righteousness, then they get the fragrance of Jannat even in this world. As Mawlana Talha Sahib and Mawlana Abdul Hafiz Sahib, they were at one spot near one grave and they found a fragrance. So Mawlana Talha said to Mawlana Abdul Hafiz Sahib that this is not a normal fragrance, not a normal earthly fragrance. It's something from the hereafter. Anyway, he came up to Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and they explained to Hazrat Musa Rahmatullah Alayhi this fragrance that we got, then we got it from you as well. We got the same unique fragrance that is from the grave, from the unseen, from the hereafter. We got it at this grave, and then we get it from you as well. So Mustafa explained that, you see, externally we may be different. Right? Our outer selves may be different. You're doing something, I'm doing something, outwardly. It's only on the surface. On the surface, we are all different, right? According to the work, according to the positions Allah Ta'ala has given us, so outwardly we are different. But inwardly we are one and the same. We are all in the same boat. Only outwardly it appears that we are different, class different, working different, living different, location is different. But within, we are one and the same. In other words, within, in other words, in the life that is not visible, that is not visible, we are all the same. So, if your deeds are the same, and your goal is the same, then in the batin you are the same, in the same class you are moving all together. This outwardly it appears that you all are different, but really you all are one and the same, you are moving together. Though outwardly it seems that you are different, but within you are one and the same. Although you are living in America, he is living in Australia, other person is living wherever, but your goal is the same, your thinking is the same, your behavior and conduct is the same, your ways are the same, then you are all together you are. Right? Though outwardly it appears that you are different, but you are really together. Like how you get an ambassador of South Africa, right? He is in Australia. So the government will tell him, see, that really we are together. Outwardly it may seem that you are in Australia and you are the Aussies and whatever else, kangaroos and all, but really you are with us. Right? In your concerns you are with us, in the rewards and returns you are with us, in our protection and security you are with us, in the favors you are with us, in all your affairs you are with us. So the same, when you are in this group of virtue, this group of righteousness, then really you are together. It's just this earthly life that has separated you, posted you in different directions, but really you are together. You aren't separate, you aren't different, you are same. You are all one and the same. Just outwardly it seems that you are, someone is here, someone is there, someone is elsewhere. Outwardly it's just an outward manifestation. But really, you are together. That is, provided mentally you are the same, your mind is the same, your outlook is the same, your conduct is the same, your ways and behavior is the same. So if you are the same, then you are together. Right? Just this earthly cover, when it's pulled away, then you'll find that you're all in one and the same boat. This earthly cover has made you appear as though you are different, but really you are one and the same. Otherwise, this earthly cover is shifted, then you'll find yourself to be one and the same, in the one and the same class. Right? Now you have it, it's so easy to understand this. Now you have this internet classes, right? So, there's one student from Germany, one from Japan, one from Belgium, one from perhaps America, one from South Africa, one from Canada, right? So 100 students attending one class, right? So when you look at it on the screen, all of them will appear as though they are in the same class. And there's one teacher that is delivering that lesson, right? And if he's got an ishkal or a question, then he's raising his hand. So you can see that as though you're all one. So you're one, although you are posted differently, you are situated, locations are different, but your thoughts, your ways, your mannerisms are one and the same, so therefore you are grouped in the same class. So this outer cover, when it's shifted, then you'll be the same, right? So when you are cleansing your nose, then you make this dua, Allahumma arihni ra'ihat al-jannah, Allah Ta'ala grant me the fragrance of Jannat. Grant me the fragrance of Jannat and be happy with me. وَأَنْتَ أَنِّي رَادٍ. Be happy with me. So Allah Ta'ala is pleased with you. Now you got that in your mind that I'll get the fragrance of Jannat. See? So you see, when you are preparing for namaz, your mind has already moved to a different station altogether. It's on the station of Jannat, it's on the station of the Akhirat, it's on the station of the hereafter. رِحْنِي رَائِحَةَ الْجَنَّةَ وَأَنْتَانِي رَضِينَ. Then you come to washing your face, so you're saying, اللَّهُمَّ بَيِّدْ وَجْهِي يَوْمَ تَبْيَدُّ الْوُجُوهُ وَتَسْوَدُّ الْوُجُوهُ. That, oh Allah Ta'ala, brighten and radiant my face when faces will be brightened and blackened. On the day of Qiyamah, people will come as handsome as ever, and they were handsome, they were good looking, now their faces have been blackened. And there will be those people, may have been black in complexion, but then when they appear on the day of Qiyamah, then their face will be bright and beaming to such an extent that you'll be able to see them from miles. Their radiance and the light that will be beaming from their face will be visible and perceivable from miles on end. You can see it like a moon shining. Imagine from thousands of miles you can see the radiance of that person's face. So يَوْمَ تَبْيَدُّ الْوُجُوهُ وَتَسْوَدُّ الْوُجُوهُ. Imagine now on that day, and what a disgrace it would be if you were in one complexion and then your face is darkened, you are ugly looking, you are horrible in your appearance. What an embarrassing sight it would be. Right? So اللَّهُمَّ بَيِّدْ وَجْهِي يَوْمَ تَبْيَدُّ الْوُجُوهُ. See, your mind is being shifted in a different station altogether. So you're asking Allah Ta'ala, don't embarrass me on that day. Your mind is totally shifted on the hereafter. Then you're coming to the washing of your hands, and you say, "Allahumma aatini kitabi bi yamini." Allah Pak, it will happen on the day of Qiyamah that the books will be all heaped up, and then they will be distributed. So Allah Ta'ala, when you're distributing the books, Allah Ta'ala, let my books be received in the right hand, that I be honored. You honored me here in this world. Allah Ta'ala, in that world also, honor me that my books are received in the right hand. I don't have any problems, no disgrace, no embarrassment. You see now, before getting into namaz, your mind is already switched off onto the akhirat. It's no more in the world. But you're preparing your mind in order to get that focus, and in order to get that level of concentration in namaz, you are preparing. You can't expect that concentration to come overnight. So you are preparing for that. So you're reciting this du'as, and then it is even better, I used to see these older people, that when they're reading this du'as, they read it audibly. They don't read silently, audibly. Entering the masjid, then audibly. So when you read audibly, then there is more presence of mind. And that person that is not reading du'a, or he forgot to read the du'a, he also is reminded. You are doing it, there is more presence of mind. That person who's forgotten or he's not doing it, and he hears you, and he's got a chance to recite the dua as well. So there is greater advantage, whether at home, whether in the respective occasion, the duas that have to be recited, you are reading it audibly. You can hear it, others can hear it. So there is more presence of mind. اللهم أعطني كتابي بيميني. You're understanding. You are thinking now, as you're washing your face, Allah Pak is washing away all my sins of the face. And you are thinking that my face mustn't be blackened. How it can be blackened? That my face is being used to see all haram things. Now the next time you see a haram thing, and then you think to yourself, hey, I don't want my face to be blackened. I'm doing all these haram things, and then tomorrow if I'm going to stand before Allah Ta'ala, my face is blackened, I don't want this to happen. Right? So, اللهم أعطيني كتابي بيميني, my books of deeds in my right hand. Then you're washing your left hand, لَا تُؤْتِنِي كِتَابِي بِشِمَالِي أَوْمِي وَرَاءِ ظَهْرِي. There will be those people that will be embarrassed and disgraced, they will receive their books on the left hand or behind their backs. Behind their backs, they'll be receiving their books of deeds. So now, see where your mind is running. Then you come to the masa of your head, then you say, اللَّهُمَّ أَزِلِّنِي بِزِلِّي تَحْتِ أَرْشِكَ. Allah Ta'ala, then you shade me with the shade of your arsh, of your throne, when there will be no other shade besides the shade of your throne. You know, all these things that you've come across in the hadith, etc. Now, you are reminding yourself. You are bringing that to your memory again. You are refreshing those thoughts. There will be a day of Qiyamah. There will be a day where people will be parched with thirst. There will be a day where people will be suffering with the terrible stench of Jahannam. And there will be a day where people will be receiving the books, some on the right hand, some on the left hand. Some people, the sun will be just over a mile over their heads. Just a mile over their heads. They'll be drowning in their sweats. And oh Allah Ta'ala, you save me on that day. Grant me that special shade of your throne. Like how you have in the middle of the Sahara, you'll find that there is an air-conditioned room. It's everywhere, everybody is sweltering heat, right? There's sweltering heat, and you have got an air-conditioned room. How comfortable don't you feel? Don't you find that sometimes you are landing in Saudi Arabia or Dubai, you can see outside is 35, 40, 45 degrees. But the plane that you are sitting in is air-conditioned. So you don't feel anything about it. So the same Allah Ta'ala will give you that type of an air-conditioned, shaded area, whilst other people will be suffering in the sweat and in the heat. So, اللهم أزلني بزلي تحت أرشك. Then you're coming to the washing of your feet. Then, اللهم ثبت قدمي. اللهم ثبت قدمي على الصراط. Allah Ta'ala, let my feet be firm on the pool sirat. يوم تزل في الأقدام. You'll find people will be slipping away. They'll be slipping away, they'll be falling. So Allah Ta'ala, let me be firm on that day. Let me be firm on that day. I don't slip away. Even the Anbiya al-Islam will be making dua on that day. Rabbi Sallim, Sallim. Allah Ta'ala, allow our ummatis to pass with ease. They mustn't fall into this fire. Let them pass with ease. So all these are coming vividly into your mind. This whole scene of Qiyamah is coming into your mind. How many times it happens that days pass on end without even reflecting about Qiyamah, without reflecting about Jannah, Jahannam. Whereas it's a cornerstone of your faith. It's a cornerstone of your faith, but you don't think about Jannah, you don't think about Jahannam, you don't think about the reward, you don't think about the punishment, you don't read about the favors or the dangers. Not thinking, your mind is not going in that direction. Whereas it's a cornerstone of your faith. It's a catalyst in your whole movement towards akhirat. That's a catalyst. That's the thing that pushes you, moves you forward. But you're not even thinking about it. So اللهم ثبت قدمي على الصراط. اللهم ثبت قدمي يوم تزل فيه الأقدام. One is to keep it firm on the path, on the pool sirat, or on this path in this while, in the time that you are in this life, you are moving correctly. Or the time that you are crossing the pool sirat, then you are also moving calmly, correctly, and evenly you are moving. Right. Then at the end now you are making dua. اللهم اجعلني من عبادك المنتخبين الغر المحجلين الوفد المتقبلين. People that did their wuzu correctly, and they did their wuzus completely, a little bit more than what they are supposed to be doing. For example, the elbow is supposed to be washed here, so they are doing a little bit more. Or the face is supposed to be washed till this point, you are doing a little bit more. So on the day of Qiyamah, then you will get a special nur on your faces. Your faces will be radiating with nur. Your hands will be radiating with nur. Your feet will be radiating with nur. Al-ghurri al-muhajjaleen. Ibadika al-muntakhabeen. You'll be from the elite servants of Allah Ta'ala with the faces radiating with nur. Now, with that frame of mind, do the wuzu correctly, nicely, not wasting water, reading the du'as, focused, and doing it a little more than what I'm supposed to be doing, then on the day of Qiyamah, this is how my face will be radiating with nur. Such a simple procedure at the time of wuzu, and the whole Qiyamah scene is before you. Now you're getting into namaz. Imagine now, gee, what a frame of mind. Provided you do it with that frame of mind. You read this dua, but with that frame of mind. Everything comes with a little bit of effort. You have to try, do all these things, then you get that level of concentration. I don't get the concentration, but try these things. These things are coming. And this is a practice that has been reported in the kitabs. So try it out. Then as you completed your wuzu, then it's preferable that you look at the heavens and أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول. فتحت له أبواب الجنة الثمانية. And the 8 doors of Jannah are open to you. I say, hey, Alhamdulillah. Now, I must just go for the kill now. All the doors have opened up for me. I just go now straight. Imagine if I died now, I made the wuzu, I read the dua, I read the shahadatain. Now all the doors have just opened up to me. Now I'm getting ushered in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. See? So, these small little practices, But this practice, like I say, do it audibly and do it with the presence of the mind. Now you enter into namaz now as though you are already in Jannat, or already as though you are on Qiyamah, or you are on the plane of Qiyamah and you are talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this mind of yours is conditioned. And for it to be conditioned, there is a preparation that is required before it. As you are preparing for it, now you are coming into namaz, your mind is already prepared. Otherwise, if you are not doing wuzu with that presence of mind, then you are just going through a motion. Doing this just a motion. There is no life in your work. But you are doing with this preparation, then there is some life in your namaz. There is a soul in your namaz. There is a life in your namaz. The namaz becomes an enjoyment, something that you are enthusiastic about, something that you are yearning and looking forward to. Haji Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, they worked on namaz. When they worked on namaz, then they got that sweetness in namaz. Haji Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, that all I want from Allah Ta'ala is just one musalla place under the arsh of Allah Ta'ala that I could perform some rakats of namaz. Mawlana Hazrat Mawlana Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullahi, he experienced such sweetness in namaz that he would say that if on the day of Qiyamah Allah Pak posts me to Jannat, Allah Ta'ala grant us all that. And if even the hoors that come to me to entice me, I would tell the hoors, then if you want to read some Quran Sharif, you may recite, otherwise move it now. What? Now imagine for a youngster, the hoor, what the hoor is like. But the enjoyment and the sweetness of namaz is something else. The sweetness and the enjoyment of namaz is something else. We think that the sweetness is only that hoor. Our mind is just worked to that limited space, doesn't go beyond that. So he is saying that sweetness of namaz is something else. You work for it, you prepare yourself, you work for it, and you work for it, now you'll get such a sweetness, such an enjoyment that hoor is just pushing aside back away. Just let me read my namaz. If you read some Quran Sharif, very good, otherwise move away. See that sweetness of namaz. Sabit Bunani Rahmatullahi, when he passed away, so as they lay his body in the grave, one brick had fallen and someone had seen that he's standing up and performing namaz. However it happened. Now someone, don't use your mathematics, so it's a small place, how he stood up and performed namaz. So he stood up and performed namaz. So one person showed the next person, say, just keep quiet now, this is not in this realm, it's another world, so just keep quiet. Anyway, they went to his sister. Okay, bhai, what happened? We see something strange about your brother. Says, yeah, he used to make this dua that, oh Allah Ta'ala, if anybody was blessed with the opportunity of performing namaz in his grave, then Allah would bless me. Now imagine, just imagine how it will pan out. It will pan out like this, that he started straight away into the qabr and started namaz. Now, Munkar Nakir on... Ji? Huh? You're on hold. Just hold on now. We were in Myaswami. So at that time there was no phones and all that. Very few. Now, once in a while someone will phone from home or something, right? So there was that Kari Sahib that was in charge of the phones. Kari Mirza. So he was in charge of the phones. So the ladies now, they speak about it now. They say that, you know, sometimes you should phone, you know. Kari Sahib would say, Thobjo, hold on, just hold on. That hold on carries what? Waiting for whatever. So these people, they kept the Malakul Maut also on hold. Not Malakul Maut. Munkar Nakir kept him on hold. Sweet, hold on. His person is engaged. Phone is busy now. Just hold on. So that Akhirah became a real thing. It became a cheer. It became a pleasure for them. That is, they prepared themselves for it. You prepared yourself for it. Now you prepare yourself for the world. Then the world becomes a real thing. Whereas it's a bluff. The whole world is a bluff. When I look at it, really, it's a lie. It's a forgery. It's a lie. It's just a delusion. It's a deception. Nothing more than a deception. But then we made it appear as though it is real. You know, we made it appear as though it is real. My one friend, new Muslim living in America, so he came to study in Deoband. So, Indian origin, and he accepted Islam, then he came to study. So he says, you know, as a non-Muslim, he was watching films and all that. And all the films he was watching was this English, they say Romeo and Juliet, and here in Urdu, Arabic, they say Layla Majnoon. So they were showing that Layla Majnoon film there. Now, you know, it's all made up, right? It's all stories, just made up. But that makeup becomes so vivid and so real that people begin to feel that it's a real thing. He says, wow, you could have heard, you know, the screams in the cinema hall. People are crying, madly they're crying. Not only madly crying, some of them even committed suicide after that. So this bluff, this delusion, this deception, we made it feel as though it was real. So it becomes like real. It becomes like real. You got it, so you say, I got it. You don't have it, so you got nothing now. So you get into a fear, you get into a frenzy, you get into a panic because you don't have it. Because you made that which is not real, you made it into real. And what is real, you made it like an imagination. Akhir was a reality, you made that into an imagination. Whereas Allah Pak says about the hereafter, well, akhir, what? Layyal hayawan, what's the ayat? Layyal hayawan. Real, reality is akhirat. This is just a deception. Ghurur, this is just deception. I was saying, oh, hey, go and enjoy yourself, bugs. The bugs are what you're going to see. See the same stone, see the same water, same tree, anything else you'll see besides stone, tree and water. Maybe some ski boats, something else, some tea room there, whatever else, some horses. That you can see in Stemba Farm also you can see. What else you'll see? Some trout fishing. What trout fishing? Springer Beach you're getting fish, free fish just now. Just now you'll get sardine season, the whole shore will be filled up with fish. So isn't it a delusion? Pure, it's a pure deception. Now, you know, I booked out. I feel really calm now. I'm very, very relieved. All my pressure is gone. But where the pressure is gone? For one night booking there, you have to pay 2,000 rand. Every night, 2,000 rand. And all the food, the discomfort of leaving your home, living all amongst all these gays and lesbians are all living all that rooms that they are sharing, and you're living in that old, like a kachumar you're living. So what is the maja? What is the enjoyment? If you go and see that class, all lesbians, gays, all these people are living there. They're sharing all those rooms, all that, and you are living there. Kya maza is, what's the enjoyment there? You came back more miserable. Then you want to go somewhere else. I had enough of bugs, not somewhere else. Well, you're just bluffing yourself. By think about the akhirat, make that akhirat a reality. In dar al akhirat alayya al hayawan. You did your wuzuna, alhamdulillah, I got clean, Allah washed me out. Allah Pak clean me. Alhamdulillah, now Allah Pak open the doors of Jannat for me. Alhamdulillah. So, be positive and think about the Akhirat. The Akhirat will seem as though it's real. See? And Allah Pak opens it up for Nabi Sam on the day of Kusuf, when there was the Sona eclipse. Then Allah Ta'ala opened up the Jannat and Jahannam for Nabi Sallallahu. He saw it on the wall of the Qibla. He actually saw it. So, it happens for many people, but only for Nabi Sallallahu. Nabi Sam, it happened obviously. At his shan, at his level. For others also, according to their levels, Allah opens it up, and the Jannat and Jahannam becomes vivid, becomes clear. See? Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Naseeb Kare. What I'm showing you is prepare for that. And an easy preparation is your wuzu. As you're preparing, Allah, you are washing my sins away. My gunas are getting washed away. Allah, give me the Tawfiq that you have washed my sins away, then I remain clean all the time. I don't get involved again. Now I'm washing myself, then I'm getting involved again. Washing myself, getting involved again. Give me that tawfiq. I wash myself, then I'm clean, and I'm clean forever, Allah Ta'ala. So then your wuzu will be different. The akhirat will become real, will become real. This world will become like a joke. It will become like an imagination. The world becomes an imagination. That becomes real after that.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Today we'll discuss some of the adab of salah and namaz, that prior to performing namaz, one needs to ensure that his body is clean, the clothing that he's wearing is clean, and also he's in a state of taharat, he has wudu, etc. Then he will be he must make sure that the time that he's going to perform in the salah is not any makruh time. Then when he comes to the musalla, then he should face towards the qibla, make the niyat for the namaz, and thereafter raise his hands to the extent that where his thumbs will be in line and parallel with his earlobes, and his palms and fingers will be straight facing towards the qibla. And the fingers will not be tightly closed, nor will they be kept wide open, but rather in the normal position. And one will raise his hands, and when saying the takbir, the head will be kept straight as well. That one will not lower the head, nor will you pull your head towards the back, but rather it will be kept straight with your gaze fixed to the place of sajda. So your entire body will be facing towards the qibla, and you will keep a gap between both your feet, approximately 4 finger space. And thereafter you will say the takbir, and you will then lower your hands, say Allahu Akbar. And upon the completion of the takbir, you will place your hands below your navel, placing the right hand over the left hand, and forming a ring with the small finger and the thumb of the right hand around the wrist of the left hand, and keeping the remaining 3 fingers over the forearm. Thereafter you will commence with the thana, subhanakallahumma bihamdika. And this will be recited by all, whether a person is reading namaz alone, whether he is a munfarid, whether he is a muqtadi reading behind the imam, or the imam himself. Thereafter you will read the ta'awuz, a'udhu and bismillah. But this will only be read by the imam and the person that is reading alone, the munfarid. As far as the one who is reading behind the imam, the muqtadi, then he will stop at the thana, and thereafter he will remain silent. After reciting the a'udhu and bismillah, you will then recite Surah Fatiha, and upon completion of Surah Fatiha, you will say Ameen softly. And thereafter, if it is the Farz Namaz, then the Masnoon Qirat in the Farz Namaz of Fajr and Zuhr is from the Tiwali Mufassal, to read the Surahs from the Tiwali Mufassal, that is the Surahs from Surah Hujurat in the 26th para till Surah Idha Sama'un Shaqqat in Amma para. And then for the Asr and Isha Namaz, the Sunnah Surahs are the Awsat Mufassal, that is from Surah Buruj till Surah Qadr, Inna Anzalna. And then for the Maghrib Namaz, the Sunnah is from Surah Bayyina, Lam Yakun Illadina, till the end, till Surah Nas. Thereafter, upon the completion of the Surah, you will go into Ruku, and you will start saying the Takbir, Allahu Akbar. As soon as you begin lowering your back, and you will end of the Takbir once you are in the position of Ruku. So you will not bend and thereafter start reading that saying the Takbir, but together with bending, you will say the takbir as well. And when going into ruku, whilst going, you will first place your hands upon your knees, holding your knees tightly and with a firm grip. Thereafter, your back will be kept straight in line with your head. And it will not be kept at a slant, but rather completely straight. And then your shin, that is the knee downwards, that will be kept straight. And as far as possible, you will also try to keep your thigh straight as well. Yeah, you will push yourself forward. So the shin will be straight, and the thigh also. And then you'll be holding your knees firmly. Your elbow will also be kept straight. It will not be bent. And whilst in ruku, you will keep your gaze to your feet. And you will recite the tasbih, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, thrice. Then upon the completion of ruku, you will start getting up by reciting Sami Allahu liman hamida. And this, if a person is the imam, then he will just suffice on Sami Allahu liman hamida. If a person is following the imam, the muqtadi, then he will only read Rabbana wa laka alhamd. And the person who is reading alone, the munfarid, he will read both Sami Allahu liman hamida and Rabbana wa laka alhamd. Thereafter, once you come into the posture of Qoma, that is the standing posture after Ruku, you will remain with Ta'adil al-Arkan, that is you will stand with total ease, and thereafter you will proceed to Sajda, that you will not rush. As soon as you get up from Ruku, you won't rush immediately to Sajda, but you will remain with ease, and thereafter you will proceed to Sajda. And proceeding to Sajda, you will start off the Takbir. As soon as you start bending down, and you will only end off the takbir once you reach the posture of sajda. And when going down, you will first place your knees onto the ground, then your hands, then your nose, and lastly your forehead. So the takbir will commence from the time you start lowering yourself. So you will say Allahu Akbar. And once you reach the posture of sajda, that's when you will say you will end of the takbir. And in sajda, the hands will be kept, the palms will be kept on the side of the face, the fingers will be kept tightly closed, and you will join both the feet and press the toes onto the floor so that they will be facing towards the qibla, and you will keep a gap between the stomach and thighs. So the sajda will be made in this manner. And in sajda, you will keep your gaze towards your nose. And then you will recite the tasbih, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, thrice, or any other odd number of times. And then you will get up, and after the sajda, into the posture of jalsa. And in jalsa, you will sit on your left foot, keeping your right foot erect, again with your toes facing towards the qibla. So your right foot will be kept erect, with your seated on your left foot. And your hands will be kept on your thighs with the fingertips at the edge of the knees, and the fingers will be kept in a normal position, not widely spread out, not tightly closed. And your gaze, once in the posture of jalsa, you'll gaze at the place between from the lower chest to your lap, and you will remain with ta'deel arkan in the posture of jalsa, meaning you will not rush for the second sajda as soon as you get up from the first sajda. But you will remain with ease, and thereafter you will proceed to the second sajda. And upon the completion of the second sajda, you will then say the takbir and get up for the second rakat. And again the takbir, you will start it as soon as you start raising your head from the floor, and you will only terminate it and complete it once you are in the standing posture. So when getting up from the sajda, you will start the takbir, then Allahu Akbar. So you will pull and lengthen the takbir till you come to the standing posture. Then you will complete the second rakat as normal, reciting Bismillah in the beginning, then Surah Fatiha with Ameen and the Surah that follows. And then you will make ruku, sajda, etc. And then you will, after the second sajda of the second rakat, you will come to the posture of Qa'da. And in Qa'da you will recite the At-Tahiyyat, and you will sit in the same manner as you sat in Jalsa, that is seated on your left foot, keeping your right foot erect with the toes facing towards the Qibla, with both your hands placed on your thighs, with the fingertips at the edge of the knees. And in the first Qa'da, you will recite the At-Tahiyyat, the Tashahud. And with deciding the At-Tahiyyat, when coming to the Shahadat, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. So when saying Allah ilaha, you will form a ring with the thumb and the middle finger of the right hand, and you will raise the index finger, and you will fold in the small finger and the ring finger, and when saying illallah, that is when you will lower the index finger. And in the, if it is a two rakat, if it is a three or four rakat salah, then upon the completion of at-tahiyyat, you will then say the takbir and come to the third and fourth rakat and complete the third and fourth rakat as normal. And if it is a two rakat namaz, or if it is the last qada of a three rakat or four rakat namaz, then after the at-tahiyyat, you will recite Durood Ibrahim, followed by any Masnoon dua. Normally you read Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi, etc. And thereafter you will make salam. And making salam, you will start off the salam from the front, and you will turn your head so much that the person behind will be able to see your cheek, and you will fix your gaze to your shoulder. And thereafter you will say the second salam, turning towards the left, and again you will turn your face to such an extent that the person behind will be able to see your face, and you will keep your gaze to your shoulder as well.